In the novel Don Quixote, author Miguel de Cervantes writes, "By a small sample, we may judge of the whole piece." Hi, I'm Rob West. That, of course, is an early reference to statistics. They're often useful and sometimes just plain scary. I'll talk about some scary statistics concerning identity theft, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. The financial information review site Fortunly recently compiled a list of identity theft stats that should have us all concerned and ready to take steps to guard ourselves against this growing type of fraud. Now, since these stats were drawn from many different sources, some would appear to contradict others, but taken as a whole, they're really eye-opening. So, to start with, there's a new victim of identity theft every 14 seconds in the U.S., and this would include adults and children. Put another way, about 50 million people become victims of this fraud every year. Identity theft costs Americans well over $50 billion a year. This includes IT professionals who've lost their jobs due to data breaches and consumers who are scammed through direct interaction with thieves, like in phishing emails and telephone fraud. The elderly are most likely to become victims of identity theft, and each year, the Federal Trade Commission receives well over 2 million related complaints. Now, this next stat is really scary and almost hard to believe. Listen to this. 33% of Americans report they've been the victim of identity theft at least once in their lives. And the U.S. seems to be a world leader in this regard, with numbers higher than other nations like France and Germany. Not surprisingly, credit card fraud is the most likely way you'll be hit by identity theft. It's the most common form of identity theft, with the FTC getting nearly 20,000 complaints a year. Do you spend a lot of time on social media? Well, users of Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, and Instagram are 30 to almost 50% more likely to become victims of identity theft than folks who are not active on social media. Thieves have discovered those apps are a goldmine for collecting personal information on individuals to steal their identity. Most often, thieves use stolen identities to apply for government documents and benefits, like with Social Security and filing fraudulent tax returns to get your refund. The next most common use of stolen identities is credit card fraud, followed by banking and utility fraud. Now, could where you live make you more likely to experience identity theft? Apparently so, according to the FTC, which has received nearly 150,000 complaints from California alone. Next in line is Illinois, then Texas, Florida, and Georgia in that order, rounding out the top five worst states for identity theft. Your age is another determining factor, with millennials, those 20 to 40 years of age, making up more than a third of victims. Folks 60 to 69 make up a far lower percentage of victims, but their losses tend to be much higher when they're scammed. The fastest growing demographic for identity theft seems to be children, with over 1.3 million of them becoming victims each year. Half of those are age 6 or younger, and victims are getting younger all the time. The annual price tag for families suffering child identity theft is well over $500 million. So, who's stealing children's identities? Well, it's interesting that only 7% of adults know the person who commits this fraud, but in the case of children, that figure is a whopping 60%. That means children are far more likely to have a family member or a family friend, using that term loosely, of course, steal their identity. Here's another scary statistic. Up to 10% of the annual U.S. health budget is lost to identity theft. That's about 2 million cases a year. You may be wondering how that works, because I was. Well, medical identity theft is when someone steals or uses your personal information, like your Social Security or Medicare number, to submit fraudulent claims to Medicare and other health issuers without your authorization. And one more stat? Well, gift card fraud now amounts to losses around $150 million a year and is trending upward. That's not necessarily identity theft. It's when you're scammed into paying a bill or taxes that you don't owe by using a gift card. So what can you do? Well, don't pay for anything over the phone or click a link in an email you don't know. Get a copy of your credit report and freeze your credit with each of the bureaus. It's free. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
On American Family Radio. Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a layman here to remind you that faith sharing is a barometer for your spiritual health. Unless you're living in a cave, you can't ignore the chaos in the world today. How is it possible so many people can be so deceived, so immune to decency, so fill in the blank? What do you expect? They're lost. In the absence of God, chaos is always the result. Isaiah 5:20 warned centuries ago of those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. That's what we're seeing today. Why do you think Jesus said to his disciples, in a crooked generation, you shine as lights in the world? Jesus sent you and me to be salt and light. People all around us are lost and no one's telling them differently. Be that light in the world. It's the answer to this mess we're in. Get help sharing your faith at igniteamerica.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Election Day is November 8th. For the first time, iVoter Guide is covering select statewide ballot measures, some of which will affect voter identification laws and abortion. This important part of your voter guide is available now and can be found at the bottom of your personalized iVoter Guide ballot. To see the arguments for and against and other research, click on the More button or the amendment title. For all this information and more, please visit iVoterGuide.com. That's iVoterGuide.com.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit MoneyWise.org/connect. That's MoneyWise.org/connect.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're going to be taking your calls and questions in just a moment. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000 with lines open. We'd love to hear from you today. We started today by talking about identity theft, which has become an incredibly difficult problem for so many folks, young and old, as we said. A new victim of identity theft every 14 seconds in the U.S., about 50 million people each year becoming victims of this fraud. We want to try to keep you ahead of that to the best we can. And a little later in the broadcast, I'll provide some thoughts on ways you can prevent identity theft in general. What are some of those best practices that will hopefully keep you from this really damaging fraud that can happen against you? I'll share that a little later in the broadcast, plus a few of your emails today. And Bob Dahl stops by to weigh in on the markets and the economy as we begin another week with the markets largely green across the board. Bob will weigh in and tell us what he's expecting, both in the way of economic data out this week, as well as where the markets might be headed from here. That, of course, plus your questions. 800-525-7000 is the number to call, and we've got some lines open right now. All right, let's begin today in Mississippi. William, thank you for your patience. How can I help you, sir?
All right. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
All right, this is my situation. I have $330,000 in a Trustmark IRA retirement CD.
Yes, sir.
And I have to make mandatory withdrawals.
Yes.
And they're telling me the mandatory minimum amount is $16,000 and then pay taxes on it. But this is a thing. I want to change it to $50,000. Can I do that?
Oh, sure. You can take out whatever you'd like. It's just going to be a taxable distribution added to your adjusted gross income for the year. And as long as you take out the required minimum, the amount that the IRS lets you know you have to take out based on the balance of the portfolio and your life expectancy, which they'll provide on a table at IRS.gov, as long as you cover at least that minimum, William, you can take as much money as you'd like out of that portfolio. It would just all be taxable for the year in which you take the distribution.
All right. This is what I've been hearing, that in 2025, that the government's going to restructure taxes for individuals with varying different accounts, but they say the taxes are going to go up. So if I've got this $330,000 in this type of situation, it's better to go ahead and start taking it out, isn't it?
Well, there's nothing that I'm aware of that's going to kick in 2025 necessarily. I mean, if we are headed toward Election Day tomorrow, like we expect, and we're going to see control pass to the Republicans, we're going to have essentially gridlock in Washington that's not going to result in higher taxes, in my view. So anything that's being discussed is speculation, I think, at this point, William. Clearly, if we see taxes move in one direction in the future, I would agree with you, they're going higher, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. So you've got time to make that decision. There's no need, if you don't need this money right now, I wouldn't necessarily pull it out in 2022 and create a taxable event based on something that is uncertain years down the road. I'd let it just continue to grow inside the tax-deferred environment.
Well, I'm 80 years old, and I don't want to leave a lot of money in there for whoever's on my going to receive the money after I pass away to have to deal with this.
Okay.
I figured draw it out and put it in a savings account.
Okay. Well, the other opportunity you have, William, if you want to do any charitable giving, would be to get that money going direct from your IRA to your church or a ministry or charity that you're passionate about through what's called a qualified charitable distribution, where it would satisfy your required minimum or any amount up to $100,000. And it would go direct to the charity or ministry, so therefore it doesn't get added to your taxable income for the year. So that would be the other option you have. You could do one or both of those, but if you want to do some giving or you were planning on doing giving out of cash, you might as well do that same giving out of your IRA straight to the charity, not create the taxable event, and then save that cash that you were planning to give anyway.
It'd be to have it on the record. All right, this is the other thing. You're saying if I draw out like $50,000, it's going to be a taxable event. But I'm going to take the tax. They're going to hold out $5,000 of it for taxes. And then if I come up short at the when we fill out our income tax for the year, I'll just take some out of savings and build it back up to, we usually pay 15%.
Yes, sir.
What's wrong with that?
No, that's no problem there. As long as you get it in time, based on what you actually owe, then I think you'll be just fine. All I was saying was if you're planning to do some charitable giving this year out of cash, out of your savings or checking, one other option to consider is to do that directly out of your IRA straight to the ministry or charity. Don't add that taxable income to your taxable income for the year and let the charity have the full amount and you satisfy the required minimum at the same time. So that's a way to do the same giving you were already planning on doing, but not pay any tax on it, if you follow me.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I'm glad you point that out.
Yes, sir. It's called a qualified charitable distribution, and you would just need to contact the banking or investment institution that's holding your IRA. Let them know you'd like to do that. They'll give you the paperwork to do it. You tell them how much you want to make the gift to and what nonprofit or charity you'd like to send it to. Alert them that it's coming, and then that will pass directly to that ministry or charity. It doesn't get added to your taxable income, and as long as you do at least $16,000 or whatever that number is, you're going to cover your RMD for the year without paying any taxes whatsoever. So that's one other option to consider. But it sounds like you're on the right track, William, so I think you ought to proceed with this plan.
All right, one quick thing.
Yes, sir.
If you give a donation, a gift to a relative, do you still have to pay taxes on it?
Yes, sir. You're not allowed to do a gift to an individual. You would have to take a distribution, pay the taxes on it, and then make the gift. And that's not a taxable event. If it gets up over $16,000 for the year, you're going to need to let the IRS know, but it's still not taxable even if you go above $16,000 per person.
All right. I listen to you all the time. I sure appreciate you answering them questions. Thank you.
I'm happy to do it, William. Thank you for your call today. God bless you, sir. 800-525-7000. What a delightful man. We'd love to hear from you today. We've got some lines open. Again, 800-525-7000. A quick email. This one comes from Ed. He says, do you prefer term or whole life insurance for a young couple in their 30s with kids? And Ed, I'm glad you're thinking this way. You definitely need life insurance to make sure that you, if the Lord were to call you home and you're the primary wage earner, that that income is replaced with something that can support your wife and your kids. Same would be true if she's a wage earner having insurance on her life. And if she's, or one of you is a non-working spouse, and you all being taken home to be with the Lord would require childcare essentially full time. That could be expensive. You need life insurance for that as well. I like term life insurance. It's better because it's pure insurance. It's more cost effective. It'll allow you to get the coverage you need, and you're not muddling it up with an investment component. I'd rather you do that outside of your insurance vehicles in a tax-deferred retirement account where you get the full benefit of the growth over time through compounding. Insurance is cheap, so go out and get what you need. When you compare the cost, you'll see that you'll come out much better with term and then investing the difference. All right, we'll be right back with your questions on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
If you enjoy this radio program, you will love all of the many different resources waiting for you at moneywise.org. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at moneywise.org.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This year has just flown by. I know, it's already November.
As 2022 comes to a close, the AFA Foundation would like to invite you to make a planned gift to American Family Association. Consider the many ways your planned gift can help restore a biblical worldview in our nation, as well as bring financial stability to your family. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit our website at afafoundation.net.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Thanks for tuning in to MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions as we apply the wisdom from the Bible to your financial decisions and choices. We've got lines open today. Our team standing by. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We started today by talking about identity theft, specifically the real challenge related to identity theft in terms of the statistics you need to know about how fast this particular problem is growing, especially for this new demographic of children. Over 1.3 million children becoming victims each year, half of those are six or younger and getting younger all the time. The annual price tag for this is over $500 million. And we've got to be on our guard against all forms of identity theft, including the new ones that are emerging all the time. So how do you prevent identity theft? What does that look like? Well, there are some best practices that you can be aware of to make sure that you are at least doing your part to ensure this doesn't happen to you. Number one, you can freeze your credit. This is very easy to do. You'd have to do it with each of the three credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. It essentially restricts access to your records so new credit files can't be opened. Think someone taking your personal information, using that to attempt to open a new line of credit or credit card in your name. When that institution goes to access your credit report to verify your credit worthiness, they won't be able to do so without a four-digit PIN number that the thief would not be able to provide, and that's going to be your best protection against new accounts being opened. It's free to do as of legislation from a couple of years ago. Just contact electronically or by phone the three credit bureaus. Let them know you want to freeze your credit, and you can quote-unquote thaw it at any time with that four-digit PIN number. You can also remove it if at any point you'd like to do that as well. Safeguard your Social Security number. Don't keep that on you. Make sure that's safe and secure somewhere. Don't carry that card around with you. Be aware of phishing and spoofing. This is where a phone number appears to come from a financial institution you recognize or even a government entity. They're going to ask for your personal information, and if they convince you that they're representing the institution they claim, then you might be likely to give them personal information that they will then use as fraudsters to go open accounts in your name. Don't do it. When somebody is making an inbound call to you or you receive an email, even if it looks official and legitimate, don't click on a link and provide information. Just kindly tell them if they're calling that you'll reach back out to them directly, and then you place that outbound call to the Social Security Administration or the financial institution that you recognize to make sure that it is in fact them. Secondly, you can always just delete that email and then contact the institution directly if they're claiming action needs to be taken, but you don't ever want to respond to someone who is reaching out to you by email or phone without you initiating the contact first. Use strong passwords. This is really key. A password manager software application that encrypts your passwords helps you to choose long and unique passwords, allows you to update them periodically. That's really key. Don't use the same one over and over again. Watch your mailbox. This is an easy path to a stolen identity, especially when you're out of town. And so make sure you either use a lockable mailbox or sign up for informed delivery through the USPS. Make sure you shred sensitive information when you're done with it. Protect your mobile device. Check your credit report regularly as well. You can do that for free at annualcreditreport.com. And through the end of 2023, you can actually check that credit report as much as weekly at annualcreditreport.com with no charge. Why would you want to do that? Well, that's a great way for you to identify that your information has been compromised if you see inaccurate information or you see accounts that you didn't initiate showing up on your credit report. That may mean you've been the victim of identity theft. So hopefully those are helpful to you as you just think about how can we operate with some best practices day to day to help to offset this this risk that is growing all the time related to identity theft. All right, let's head to the phones. We've got some lines open today. What's on your mind, financially speaking? We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open. We're going to head to Missouri next. Hey, Belinda, thanks for your patience. How can I help you?
Yes, sir. I had a question. We have lost quite a bit, like everyone else, through our IRA stocks market. And we are considering taking that out and investing it in CDs and putting what cash we're holding at this time in CDs, since we're getting just a little over 2% where it is now. And so I was just wondering what your thoughts are on this. There will not be a fee to change the investment since we're keeping it in an IRA.
Yes.
And if we do this, we will no longer have that 1.4% management fee. Is this a good strategy?
Yeah, I certainly appreciate where you're coming from, Belinda. And it's not any fun opening those statements or logging in online and seeing the declines in that account. Let me ask a couple of questions and I'll give you my thoughts. What is your the age of you and or your husband, if you don't mind me asking?
Sure. 65 and 76.
Okay. And are you living off of this retirement account or a portion of it to supplement your income?
We are taking a portion. It is under $1,000, but it wouldn't be necessary. But yes, we have been doing that.
Okay. So you're taking about $1,000 or less a month?
Yes.
Okay. And what's roughly the balance on these accounts if you were to put them all together, assuming there's more than one?
Okay. The IRA on just his part, I wasn't going to do mine, is approximately, it's down to 192, which was at 239 in January, and about 300,000 in cash.
Okay. All right. And then about maybe 9,000 or so of that loss from 239 to 192 is through withdrawals. Would that be accurate?
Well, that is true. I didn't take that less than $800 per
month. No problem. Let's do this. You stay the right there, and we'll be right back after this break. I'll give you my thoughts.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
On Election Day, will we vote for biblical values? One of the most important freedoms recognized by our founders is the freedom of religion, the first guaranteed freedom in the Bill of Rights. Biblical Christianity has been under assault in America. Secular people belittle the Bible, and people who believe it are attacked. Will we vote for candidates and a party who'll protect our religious freedom, or for those who'll take it away? I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Money Wise program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
Siri, I need some advice.
What's up?
I have questions about planning for retirement, long-term care insurance. I don't know where to start.
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you find those answers and more.
Really?
Sure thing. You can ask your questions within the app and access helpful articles and MoneyWise podcasts.
Sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. This is where we apply the wisdom from the Bible to your financial decisions and choices. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you with the questions on your mind. 800-525-7000. Coming up in our next segment, our friend Bob Dahl stops by with his weekly market commentary. Bob is a Wall Street veteran, a frequent contributor on Fox Business, and he joins us each Monday with his market analysis and commentary. We'll hear from Bob on what he's expecting in the week ahead, both economic data and market action, in just a few moments. Stay with us for that. Before the break, we were talking to Belinda. Belinda and her husband are 76 and 65 years old. They've got some IRA assets that have seen some declines and are wondering about keeping it inside the IRA, but moving to CDs, both the cash portion as well as the portion that has been in stocks this year and has seen, of course, some declines with the market. And Belinda, a couple of thoughts for you. You know, as we think about this portfolio that was about $531,000, now about $492,000 when you put the cash plus the stock portion together. The stock portion alone has lost about 17%, I think, just based on what I'm hearing, because I took $8,000 out as withdrawals. If you took $800 a month for 10 months, let's call that $8,000, so that $239 would be down to $231 just based on the withdrawals you've done. And then from there, it declined to $192,000, just the stock portion. So that's down about 17%. That's very consistent with where the market is right now. And so that doesn't tell me you're overly aggressive with that portion of the portfolio. Now, because you had more than $300,000 in cash, obviously when we put that together, you've got about a $530,000 portfolio that's down to about $492,000. So now we're down only about 7% overall. And I realize we're including the cash portion in that, but we just have to look at that. And that was wise for you all in this stage of life to kind of temper those unrealized losses through such a large cash portion. How much would I typically expect to have in stocks for someone who's 65 and 76? Well, let's just kind of split the middle and say, you know, at age 70, you know, we would typically say somewhere between 30 and 40% in stocks, which gives that a bit of a growth engine for the portfolio in typical periods where the market is increasing. Obviously, in a period like we're in right now, where we've come off of a 12-year bull market, we've seen some pretty substantial declines, but that's pricing in a pretty significant recession, and we may not get that. I mean, once we saw signs even just a few weeks ago that perhaps, and this turned out not to be the case, perhaps the Fed was going to take their foot off the gas pedal in terms of raising interest rates, we saw a 4-week period where the market took off. And I think we'll see that again once we know that we're working our way through this potential recession, we've dealt with inflation, and this market will move to higher ground. So from my standpoint, I think because of the large cash position you have, which I absolutely think you should try to maximize that through the raising of the interest rates, because you can get even a one-year CD right now at 4%. So you could, you know, get a decent return on that money with zero risk. But at least with the stock portion, and this is just my perspective, you all are the stewards and need to make this decision. I would probably ride it out with that portion, not to lock in those losses. Know that it could go down a bit more from here, but the ideal would be that you want to let this recover and get back to where you were. And then at that point, if you guys decided you wanted to get even more conservative, and I would say you're already in a pretty conservative posture right now, given the fact that you've got about 490,000 and you're only pulling about 800 a month. I mean, I would typically say on a portfolio this size, you should be able to pull 4% a year, which would be about 1600. You're only doing about half that. So that's great. It allows you to stay fairly conservative, perhaps, you know, a 20 to 30% stock allocation once the market recovers, and then the rest in bonds, which will stop declining when the interest rates stop being raised, and maybe CDs and other bank products. But I've thrown a lot at you there. Give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, I know in 07 and 08, it took quite some time to regain where we were.
Yeah.
So what is the average whenever it's in the bull market like this? And I'm sure you probably can't give me a solid answer, but do you have an approximation how long it will take to regain what has been lost?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I can't give you a definitive answer, of course. What I can say is that the market will recover about 6 months before the economy on average. So once we see that, yes, inflation is down below 4% on its way to the Fed's target of 2%, once we see that, we know kind of what the recession implications are going to be in unemployment, and the Fed is done raising interest rates, and in fact, you know, they may begin even coming down, the market is going to take off. There's literally trillions of dollars on the sideline ready to be deployed. And keep in mind, despite our challenges here in the U.S., and we certainly have a good many of them, we are still the strongest economy in the world. And if we're grading on a curve against Japan, China, and Europe, we're in far better shape than all of them. And so I think for that reason, this market will recover. Now, longer term, we've got some problems given the debt levels we have in this country and so forth. But I think given what's going to happen politically tomorrow, plus just the strength of the U.S. versus the rest of the world, I think we will recover, and it's probably going to be sometime next year. Could I be wrong? Absolutely. But again, you know, you all are still young for all intents and purposes. If you're in good health and the Lord tarries, you need this money to last for decades. And so we still have a long time horizon, even though you're in the retirement season, which says you have the ability, especially given how little you need to take out each year, only 2% of this portfolio, you have the ability to wait this out, even if it were longer than next year.
Okay. So the U.S. economy is stronger than China's?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they've got real problems right now with, just the replacement of the workforce, given what's going on there with new births. They've got still COVID lockdowns, which has made, created real problems for their economy and the supply chain. They've got a real challenge on their hands, I think, in the future, in the near term, which I think continues to promote U.S. strength, which is why we've seen the dollar, the U.S. dollar, rally so significantly.
Well, that's the best news I've heard today.
But at the end of the day, Belinda, you are the steward of what passes through your hands, and you all need to pray through it and develop a conviction and follow the leading of the Lord. But I would just say, based on everything we can see today, you all locking in these losses on this portion of the portfolio, which is a fairly you know, I think modest percentage of the total assets. And given what you all need, how little you need from this portfolio to supplement your income, I think 2 years from now, you would be wishing you had waited it out as opposed to locking it in and moving to bank products. Nobody can tell you that definitively. I'm just telling you, based on a historical perspective and what I see today, that would be the direction I would go.
And from listening to your previous caller, what did you say the maximum amount of charitable gift you may give?
Yeah, from your IRA, you can do up to $100,000 as a qualified charitable distribution. Now, you don't certainly have to do that much, but as long as you're 70 and a half or older, you can do a qualified charitable distribution direct to a charity or ministry, and it doesn't get added to your taxable income, and they get the full benefit of the amount being transferred. Belinda, thanks for your call today. All the best to you and your husband. We're going to take a quick break. More of your questions and Bob Dahl just on the other side of this. Stay with us.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Downtown isn't what it used to be. Windows are boarded up, paint is peeling off walls, and you don't want to be caught out in the open after dark. What was once a clean, thriving city center is now a ghost town at best. We all know towns like this. Some of us live in such towns. Nothing stays new in this world, least of all cities. But Christians can take comfort. As the book of Hebrews tells us, here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. That's our hope, the city to come. No matter where we live today, our final destiny is to live with God in His city forever and ever. Get Anchor devotional in print monthly. Visit getanchor.com.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and MoneyWise is here to help you and millions of others learn to be wise stewards. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from MoneyWise patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? If so, please consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron. Visit MoneyWise.org and click Give on the homepage.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. Before we head back to the phones, our good friend Bob Dahl stops by each Monday morning to share his market analysis and commentary with us. Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. He's a Fox Business contributor, a Wall Street veteran, and a great friend of the ministry. Bob, good morning, sir.
And to you, Rob.
Hey, we've got an election tomorrow, I hear. You spent a good bit of time on that in your analysis and commentary this week. So let us know what you're thinking and what the implications are for the markets and the economy.
As we said in our predictions back on December 31st, we expected the Republicans to gain 20 to 25 or more seats in the House and narrowly capture the Senate, and we're sticking with that. Rob, we think 20 to 25 in the House at least, and at least by one, maybe a couple winning on the Senate side, which would take what is now a unified government, all Democrats, that would be the president, the House, and the Senate, and give us mixed government or divided government. Markets tend to do a bit better under the divided government simply because, I guess, the market says they can't do any harm. So that's the starting point. I think that what this also does is, if the election goes the way I've suggested, it definitely raises questions about President Biden's leadership and whether or not he could even contemplate another term. We will get, for all tired of politics, kind of the day after the election and the next days to come, I think lots of people on both sides of the aisle declaring for president.
Yeah.
I think the other implication for policy is we're not going to get tax increases. We won't get significant onerous oil and gas legislation, maybe a bit of the opposite. So they're the changes that I see if things come out as we're seeing them today.
Yeah, very good, Bob. Well, we'll certainly be watching tomorrow. And as you said, that's probably the outcome, at least that we're expecting, good news for the markets. And the markets at least showing that over the last week and again today with mostly green numbers, forecasting, I think, exactly what you're describing. Bob,
exactly.
Any...
I might add,
yeah, go ahead.
One more point about the market. As we put in our commentary today, at the very end, from election day, midterm election day, that is, out 12 months, since 1950, the stock market has always been up. No exceptions.
Hmm. Wow.
So we're hoping this is a rule that the market continues to follow.
Yes, no doubt about that. Bob, just before you came on in our previous segment, we were talking to Belinda. She and her husband are in their late 60s, early 70s. They've got about $500,000 in the in an IRA. Less than half of it is in stocks. They're only pulling about 2% a year. The portion that's in stocks is down about 17%, consistent with the market. And I made the case, as she was calling, suggesting that she move that stock portion to bank products like CDs, that she ride it out, given how little they're taking it out, given that it sounds like their allocation's about right in terms of stocks to fixed income bank product type investments. And I'd love for you just to weigh in on that. You know, make the case for why at this point in time, based on everything we know today and where the U.S. finds itself, why you may or may not think that might be the right approach for somebody who's in the similar situation with stocks down, you know, 15 to 18%.
Yeah, I would say if you need or want to take money out in the kind of circumstance you just described, at least wait for a better market. Taking the punishment, if they're only down 17, I say only, the market from peak to trough down 25, as you know, Rob, so perhaps they've done better than the market. But either way, I would wait for the market to climb higher before do that. They only need 2%. That's not a big number. You know, even at their age, which sounds it sounds old perhaps, you know, look at the actuarial tables. If they're both reasonably healthy, there's a good chance at least one of them will live another 20 years.
Yeah.
And stocks have always gone up every 20-year period, no exceptions. So I would be hesitant after this big decline to rush out of stocks.
And for Bob, last question, somebody that says, yeah, but this time is different. Look at our debt levels. Let's look at what's going on around the world. You know, what about the headwinds we have here in the U.S. with 40-year high inflation? Can we really expect history to repeat itself? What say you?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think if you go back to other markets, bear markets, you'd have a similar list. You can go back to biblical times and find all kinds of
sure.
problems in society. So the list of problems is surmountable, at least some of them, believe it or not, and the economy will grow despite all our incompetencies, if you will. So I don't want to be a Pollyanna and say that these things don't matter. They clearly do, but the economy will grow over time. Time, assuming the population grows and its productivity does.
Yeah, very good. All right, Bob, we always appreciate your insights, my friend. We'll talk to you next week, and we'll know the results of those elections, and you can let us know what that means for the markets moving forward. God bless you, my friend.
Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. His weekly Dahl's Deliberations are a must-read, at least for me, and I'd love for you to sign up to receive them as well. You can do that at crossmarkglobal.com. All right, here in our final moments of the broadcast, we have room perhaps for one or two more questions. 800-525-7000. To Alabama we go. Hey, Lane, thanks for your patience. Go right ahead.
Good morning. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure, yeah.
The question I have is, I've got a 19-year-old son who's in college but has basically no bills. He's on scholarship on that, lives at home, has $40,000 in savings, and tomorrow he's paying his car off, which is $6,000. So what do we do with the other amount of money. I mean, leave some in savings. And I was thinking, should we take a $5,000 or $10,000 and put it into a mutual fund or something like that? What do you recommend?
Yeah. Well, the first thing you should do is write a book for other parents on how you taught your son how to find himself in this position at 19. Just give us the quick cliff notes on that. What does that look like for him to get into this position?
Well, when he and his brother, about 5 years ago, I put him into a lawn service business, and they just did exceptionally well and saved their money. And he didn't have a girlfriend or anything, so he just worked all the time and put his money up and saved it. And now he's sitting on, he's got spending money, but he has $40,000 in savings. And I'm like, son, you got to do something with it. You can't just live in savings because it's just not making any money.
Yeah, that's right. So the takeaways there are start a lawn business and don't have a girlfriend at age 18. I'm just kidding. But no, that's great. And it sounds like he's a hard worker and you've instilled a lot of great character traits in his life. Lane, I think the first thing to do is, you know, just to make sure that he's beginning to grow in his understanding of not only financial literacy, but biblical financial wisdom. And I'd love to send you a book on that. It's called Your Money Counts from our friend Howard Dayton. If you stay on the line when we're done here, we'll send that as our gift. I'd love for you to pass that along to him as some reading, perhaps over Christmas break. I think the second thing is to put this money in buckets and think about it in terms of the purpose and the corresponding time horizon for each of these buckets. So for instance, he'd probably want to keep some of it liquid in an emergency reserve that he can access if he needs it for the unexpected or for something very near term. You know, if he were to want to move out and get an apartment and need to turn on utilities and first, last, and security. And so I think you ought to work through a process just to help him determine how much that is that he'd want to keep liquid. And I'd make sure that's in a high-yield savings account in an online bank, just because right now he's going to get 2.5%, and that number is climbing. And even though that's not a huge amount of money, it's something, you know, worth receiving versus, you know, what you might get at a brick-and-mortar bank, which is next to nothing. And then beyond that, I think, is there some money that's a little bit longer term? You know, maybe it's beyond a year, but less than 5 years. You could look at I-bonds for that. They're paying 6.8% right now, backed by the U.S. government. He could put in up to $10,000 there, and he can get it back after 12 months, but he could also leave it there. And that's a way to get a little better return, but only with a one-year time horizon. And then money that he wants to go ahead and put away for the longer term. And I think this is a great opportunity for him to do that. Imagine if he started a Roth IRA right now that he was funding, you know, for the next, well, 40, 50 years between now and retirement. Imagine what he'd have if he just put in $6,000 or $7,000 a year for the next 50 years. He'd have a ton of money put away and available on a tax-free basis. And as long as he has earned income, then he can put in up to the limit, so long as he has at least that amount in earned income for the year. And I'd probably open a Roth IRA with one of the robo-advisors like the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios or Betterment, where he's just going to capture the broad moves of the market, not trying to pick the winners and losers through a low-cost ETF portfolio. And then he can either just, well, in his case, he'd just drop that lump sum in, you know, up to the limit into that Roth IRA. How does that sound in terms of a strategy?
That's why I didn't know if we should be doing a Roth IRA or a mutual fund, or I just wasn't sure.
Yeah, so the Roth IRA is the account type, and the mutual fund is the account is the investment. So the account type is a Roth, which is tax-free growth. So you put in after-tax money. You can't pull it out till you're after 59 and a half, at least on the gains, without a penalty. You can get your original contribution back at any time, but all the gains grow tax-free. So if he continues to invest systematically into that Roth throughout his working years, he'll have a ton of money built up that he gets to take out completely tax-free. So he doesn't care what happens to the tax code in retirement, because it's all tax-free money at that point. And yeah, for the investments, that's where he'd want to do either a high-quality growth mutual fund, or I suggested the robo-advisors with ETFs, which is an index. and you'd want to look at Schwab Intelligent Portfolios or Betterment as two options there. Lane, stay on the line. We'll get that book out to you. Thanks for your call today, sir. We appreciate it. That's going to do it for us today, folks. We appreciate you being along with us on MoneyWise as we apply God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. I want to say thanks to our producer today, Devin Patrick, handling our phones today, Pat Montague, and serving me with great research today, Mr. Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without this amazing team. Thank you for being here as well. Hope you have a great rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.